In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This past week, you might have seen the state legislature of New York erupting and giving themselves a standing ovation, raucous applause, and you might wonder, well, what could they be celebrating? What did they accomplish? Did they find a cure for cancer? Did they stop wars from happening? Did they come up with some way to balance their budget or to feed the poor? No. They passed a bill that allowed for abortion up to the moment of birth. The governor, in fact, had the World Trade Center lit up with pink to celebrate it. This is a building that our tax dollars helped to build, and our grandchildren will still be paying the interest on the debt, in fact, probably, that was used to build that building. Now, when this news came out, I saw some people, and this is a reaction I've often gotten when I talk about abortions in the ninth month of pregnancy, and that's incredulity. Someone said, oh, no, that's it. The Supreme Court made that illegal. You can't do an abortion after the 24th week. Well, this is simply not true. What the Supreme Court said was that after the 24th week, that the state might have some interest in protecting the rights of the unborn, but they didn't forbid anything. They just simply said that prior to that, the state couldn't forbid it. Of course, the viability of a child has gone lower and lower as time has gone by, and so one has to ask, is the morality of an abortion contingent upon the technology of the society in which the child is born? The law specifically states this: a healthcare practitioner licensed, certified, or authorized under Title VIII of the education law, and just as an aside, what that means is it doesn't even have to be a doctor that does abortions in the state of New York anymore. It can now be a midwife, it could be a physician assistant, it could be a nurse. There's a whole group of people who qualify now to be able to do something that's not exactly a minor procedure. But anyone under that title acting within his or her lawful scope of practice may perform an abortion when, according to the practitioner's reasonable and good faith professional judgment based on the facts of the patient's case, the patient is within 24 weeks from the commencement of the pregnancy. In other words, if it's before that, then there's no ban whatsoever. Or there is an absence of fetal viability, in other words, the baby's already dead, okay. Or the abortion is necessary to protect the patient's life or health. Now you might say, well, see there it says it's the mother's life or health. Well, the problem, though, is that it's up to that person's judgment. And when they put the mother's life and health, that could mean mental health. That could mean the mother is in her ninth month of pregnancy, her boyfriend has just ditched her for another woman, and she's distraught, and she's decided that she can't go on with this pregnancy. That would be enough for that abortion to take place. And as a matter of fact, there have been states that already effectively had similar laws to this. The state of Kansas has allowed abortion through the ninth month of pregnancy, unless they've changed it recently, for years and years. I know when I was in college, back when the Yellow Pages were still the way that we found out what was available in the world in terms of organizations, businesses, or what have you, if you looked up in the Oklahoma City phone book for abortion, there was an abortion clinic in Wichita, Kansas, that was promoting the fact that it performed late-term abortions. And the doctor over that clinic was a guy by the name of George Tiller, who, that's how he got rich, because you charge more money when you do a late-term abortion, and he was doing it back then. Now, I think they had some procedures he was supposed to go through. He was supposed to get, I think, one or two other doctors to sign off on the idea that it was somehow necessary, but it was just a formality. He did it all the time. I think occasionally the state hassled him about whether he was following proper procedure, but never did the state of Kansas ever put this guy behind bars for what he was doing or shut down his clinic. So that's the effect of this law. The fact of the matter is it's never necessary to save a mother's life to do a late-term abortion. And even in the earlier stages of the pregnancy, it's a very rare situation where any kind of intervention is necessary that would directly result in the death of the child. And the way that theologians who are pro-life have looked at this is in that case, it's not that the intention is to kill the child, it's to save the mother's life, because obviously if the choice is two lives are lost or one life is lost, you have to go with the option that saves a life. And so it's not just an abortion for the sake of some convenience or what have you. Also repealed by the state legislature was a law that required after the 24th week that there be another doctor present, and so that if the baby was born alive, that other doctor would then take charge of that baby and do whatever could be done to save that child's life. So no longer is there any protection for a child who is born alive in a botched abortion. And this happens with some regularity in late-term abortions. There was a doctor in Philadelphia by the name of Kermit Gosnell who did this on a routine basis. He would laugh when he would see how big a baby was. And on a few occasions, he would actively do things like snap the baby's neck or just leave the baby to die. But there was no effort made to save that baby's life. So this is, we're not talking about some unusual, fantastic situation that would almost never happen. This is something that does happen when you have these late-term abortions. And it just underscores the fact that we're not talking about children who couldn't live outside the womb. If you had a situation where a mother couldn't go on with a pregnancy at that stage in the pregnancy, what would a rational doctor do who cared about human life? He would induce pregnancy. He would do a C-section. He would do something to deliver that baby. And then after that, if the baby was a preemie, you would take care of it like you would any other premature child. Also, the state legislature removed from their criminal code any protection for unborn children. And so prior to this, if you had a boyfriend who kicked and beat his girlfriend in the stomach until she had a miscarriage, he could be charged with manslaughter or second-degree murder, but no longer is there any such protection. He could still be charged for assaulting his girlfriend, but there's no protection for the child in that case. And therefore, even if someone was to question whether someone providing an abortion made a good faith judgment to make a decision to go ahead and do a late-term abortion, there would be no liability criminally for that doctor. There's no way that anyone could possibly question it. So you have to ask yourself the question. If it's murder, if you have a premature child that's born at 21 weeks, for someone to go and take a knife and stab that baby in the chest or cut off its head, if that's murder, but yet you're going to let a doctor do that on a baby who's in his mother's womb that's 35 weeks pregnant, and that's not murder, that's okay, all because of the location that the child happens to be at the time that the baby is killed, that is insane. And as a matter of fact, it's essentially to the point now where if you kill a baby after it's born because you were trying to kill it in the first place with an abortion, if you just let it die, that's okay. But if you actively do something, like if you neglected a baby, if you left a baby who had been around for a couple of weeks, if you neglected that baby and then it died, you'd be charged with some kind of a crime. So it's all a matter of whether you were trying to kill it in the first place or not, which is absolutely insane. We as a country have to ask ourselves, what in the world is going on with us? Why are we going down this road? The judgment of God, I believe, has already been evident in things that have happened to this country in recent years. And when you are this blatant with your disregard for innocent life, what must be in store for us as a nation? In the Old Testament, if you go to the Bible Gateway, for example, and put in innocent blood as a keyword search, just read the passages that talk about the responsibility that comes with shedding innocent blood. And there's no more innocent blood that's shed than the blood of an infant that's not had a chance to do even the slightest thing wrong in its life. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, it talks about what would happen if they found someone who'd been murdered in the land. And it talks about the guilt that the land would have and what they would have to do to try to atone for that guilt. And it basically the elders of the nearest village had to come and they had to offer a sacrifice and they had to be able to say this: our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge. And the blood shall be forgiven them, we're told. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Can we say, we can say we haven't done it ourselves if we haven't personally participated in one of these kinds of abortions, but we can't say that we weren't aware of it. All we can do as a nation is to ask that God would give us more time to repent and that something would change. When Roe versus Wade first happened, we could have as a nation said, well, it was just those justices that pushed this decision on us. It was judicial fiat. We're innocent. We didn't do this. It's just them. A lot of time has passed since then, and if we as a nation wanted to stop this, we would have stopped it a long time ago. We've had more than a few opportunities, and unfortunately we've had politicians that say they want to stop it, but when they've had an opportunity to do something, to really do something about it, they've not done anything. But even worse than that are politicians that are proud of themselves for making it easier to kill babies, and to kill babies even up to the moment of birth. Even if you don't look at this from a Christian perspective, how can any rational person say that it makes any sense whatsoever to say murder the 1 minute after delivery, not murder 1 minute before delivery? There's nothing about that child that's fundamentally changed other than its location. It's just a legal fiction to make that kind of a distinction. May God have mercy on us as a nation. May we, each and every one of us, take our responsibility seriously as citizens, because we don't live in a dictatorship, we live in a democracy, which means that we have a greater responsibility for what goes in this country. We need to pray about how we respond to this and what we're going to do, because we need to do something about this so that we are not answerable to this. And what God has in mind for this nation, what the future holds, I can't say. All I can say is God is still on his throne, and we're told in the scriptures that God is not mocked. The people of Israel went through a period of time where they were sacrificing their children to Baal and to Moloch and committing infanticide. Well, that's what we're talking about here. And God destroyed the kingdoms of Israel and Judah for this very sin, we're told, because of the innocent blood that was shed. God would not forgive. God will forgive us as individuals if we repent. Nations are judged in history. Nations don't have an afterlife, and so nations get to pay up at some point in history, and we just need to pray that we as a nation do something to appease God's wrath before it's too late. Amen.